everyone, and welcome to my podcast Magda Mluví Anglicky, or Magda Speaks English. My name is Magda, and I'm an English teacher from the Czech Republic. Through this podcast, you can practice your listening skills and build your confidence, and then move on to native speakers podcasts. I'm so glad you're here, and let's get started! So, hello everyone! Today, I'm so happy to welcome a very special guest on my podcast, and her name is Kristina. And it might sound Czech, but Kristi will tell us what her story is and what nationality she is. Well, nationality or what citizenship do you have, Kristi? I think it will be very, very interesting to hear. Okay, so Kristi, can you tell us something about yourself?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, that's a very difficult question for me sometimes because there's so much to say. I never know where to start. I was born in the Czech Republic. I was born in Břeclav. And I was like a normal Czech girl for a very short time. Yeah, and when I was seven, I moved to the UK with my mom and my brother. And I was thrown into school. I did not understand a single word of English. And I had to manage and I had to learn by myself. English just in the park with English kids, had to just teach myself how to speak. And then 3 years later, when I was about 10, I moved to New Zealand. Because my mom remarried, so my stepdad was a Kiwi. So then I lived in New Zealand for the past 12 years, let's say, and now I'm back.
Wow, so that's a hell of a story. So moving, yeah, from here to the UK and then New Zealand. So your mom is Czech, right?
Yeah, my mom's Czech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and is she still in New Zealand?
Yep, she's still in New Zealand, yeah.
Okay, so your whole family is back in New Zealand. And what about you? Where are you now?
Now I'm in Brno, in the Czech Republic. But yeah, my family is all in New Zealand. My mom and my stepdad, they have a wonderful big house and a farm and an orchard and everything that you imagine when you think of New Zealand, they have it. And I am here teaching English. Currently, I can't go back to New Zealand, even if I wanted to. So I'm stuck here.
So you are half Czech. Because, well, or are you entirely Czech? Because you've got Czech nationality, or what's the situation?
Yeah, a very complicated question for me has always been, where are you from? I was born here, so I have Czech citizenship, I have a Czech passport, mainly because I came back here for a holiday and I redid my passport, you know, I updated it. If I hadn't, then I think I'll lose my citizenship. So I do have a Czech passport and I'm a citizen of New Zealand as well. So I have a New Zealand passport. So I have a dual citizenship. I have both, which is great because it has so many benefits for each side. So I'm sort of I'm mixed, you know, I don't know what I am. I'm a mixture.
Yeah, but that's great. Because like you've got like both cultures and everything. Okay, so what made you come here?
This is a very long and difficult question sometimes to explain. But so my dream is to be a writer. Yeah, and so as I was in New Zealand, I was studying all these different authors and things like that. And a lot of the time I looked to Prague because Prague is such a big literary city filled with so much history and culture and tradition. So believe it or not, I would be in New Zealand at university, sitting there and studying Kafka and all the amazing Prague and Czech aspects of it. And I just thought, man, wouldn't it be great to live in Czech as a New Zealander? I didn't want to admit to myself that I was a Czech person. And so after school, I finished university. I got my degree in English, my bachelor's. And I wanted to come here and I wanted to work and I wanted to live in Prague and live the dream. But I didn't, and I couldn't really do it as a Czech person. It had to be as a New Zealander. It had to be an English-based job. It had to be speaking English. You know, English is like my love, you know, my passion. So it had to be English. So I was thinking, what can I do? What can I do? And I also studied TESOL at university. And I thought, okay, that's good. I have some background, but I need some more. So I came here and I did a TEFL in Prague, actually. And I started teaching because it was the one thing that I could do here, basically.
Wow. And so do you speak any Czech?
I do speak Czech, yeah. I mean, when I first came here, it was very bad, and it was so many awkward situations that I had, and still it is really quite funny. It's like Czech, it's like good, but then I say really funny words and people will start laughing, like I said it in a weird way or I said it wrong or something. So it's a bit, yeah, broken.
Yeah, how do people react to you speaking Czech? Because for us, it's really, I was thinking about it the other day, that it's really strange, you know, to hear someone speak Czech, because for you English speakers, it's normal that so many people from all around the world speak English. Sometimes, you know, it's a bit weird and sometimes you can misunderstand and stuff like that. But for us Czechs, it's really strange to hear someone speak Czech as a second language, you know? So what, how do the Czechs see you? Like, do they help or do they laugh? Do they make fun of you, or what's the situation?
Yeah, there's a mixture of reactions. I think, you know, if I'm speaking Czech, just like they haven't heard me speak English and they don't know that I'm an English native speaker, you know, like ladies at the post office or if I go to the hairdressers, these people, they just look at me really weird and they judge me and they laugh and they don't really know why I'm speaking so badly. Like, are you an idiot? sort of. And then the people, like, I teach English, so I don't tell my students that I can speak Czech. I just say, like, yeah, I was born here, but I'm a New Zealander. And then, you know, at the end of like the last lesson, I take them out for a coffee and we're at the cafe and I'm like speaking Czech, ordering everything. And all of my students are like, you know, like looking at me so strangely, like, what? What? You can speak Czech all this time, you know? And they're like, oh my God, she heard us every time we were talking about something in class. So there's different reactions, but definitely Czech people don't help you. In English, if I have a student who's looking for a word, I help them out. I give them options like, oh, do you mean this? Do you mean this? Do you mean this? But in Czech, they just stand there and they wait for you to struggle and struggle and struggle. It could be 10 minutes. They're nodding their head, but they have no idea what you're trying to say, but they don't help you.
Wow. But I guess it also depends on who you meet, because like, I'd love to help, you know, like other people. So like, yeah, we've got some friends who are Russian and Ukrainians, and it's so much fun to hear them speak sometimes, you know, and sometimes it makes you laugh because Czech is such a, it's like a really strange language. So you can play around with the words a lot. I don't think English is like that. I'd say English is a bit more straightforward, but I don't know. That's just maybe my view. What do you think, Kristi?
Well, I'm a writer, so I love English words and I love, like, that's what I like. I like creative jobs. I like creativity. So, you know, I write poetry. I use different words to make them sound pretty and beautiful and put them together like a puzzle. It is more like a puzzle though, I guess. And in Czech, it's more like a flowy, fluid sort of like a river, whereas the English language is more like an ocean. That's how I would say it.
That's a really nice metaphor. So yeah, So I think it also depends on who you meet and stuff like that. And okay, and Kristi, what do you think about Czechs and their level of English? Because oftentimes people feel like they don't speak English well enough, and you know, they have to study a lot, you know, to like be able to speak, but in reality, then you hear them and you're like, wow, but your English is okay. Like, you don't have to worry about it. And they're like, oh yeah, but I'm afraid to speak. So what if people make fun of me, etc.? So what do you think about Czechs and their level of English?
I think that there are a few problems, actually. And the problem is that Czech people, the first problem is that Czech people think that they're absolutely terrible and that they cannot speak at all. That's the first problem. Yeah, they say, oh my God, yeah, it's my English is terrible, blah, 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 blah. It's actually not, like you say, it's actually not terrible. And I think that they're like putting themselves down for no reason. And there's a little bit of like negativity, like attached to it. But I think that this begins through the school system or the English from the beginning. Yeah, every single student I teach, like I mean every single one, they say, at school we had a terrible teacher. At school I couldn't speak. At school we just repeated like the three tenses over and over and over again. We never learned anything new. At school we didn't get to communicate. And this is the problem in every single student that I have. And so they come to me so that they can speak and communicate. And they think that people will judge them, but maybe Czech people would judge them if that's what they think. But in New Zealand, for example, not everybody is so cool about them learning English, and they see it like, wow, you're learning another language. That's so amazing, because obviously New Zealanders have English. They don't need to learn another language. So there's like a different mindset when it comes to this.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine traveling around the world and speaking Czech to everyone, you know, like, so if you're an English speaker, you have a huge advantage. Exactly. So everybody speaks your language. So, yeah. So Kristy, is there like in New Zealand, is it common to study another language, and which one is it?
That's tricky. I mean, I don't know everybody in the whole country. I can only judge this by my education and my school experience. But the problem, I think, in New Zealand is that we don't need to learn another language. So we don't learn it fully. When I was at school, we would learn, let's say, French for a semester. And that's not enough. Yeah, a semester would be like 10 weeks. So you learn French for 10 weeks, then you learn Japanese for 10 weeks, then you learn German for 10 weeks. And it's not enough. I understand that at the beginning, they're trying to just introduce the languages, and then you, later on, you can choose a language if you like. So the French is probably the most common. French is the most common, and especially at small schools, it's hard to learn more languages because they don't have the teachers for it. And then as you get older, you have a lot of choice at school. Once 15, I think, you don't have to do a lot of subjects. You can choose not to do physical education, not to do English, not to do science, etc. So you don't have to do a language if you don't want to, truly. So it's not common. And I think this is sort of sad, because I would love to just learn one language really well and really properly. I then did try to learn French on my own, but it was so hard without a teacher, without a system or regime. So that is a little bit different than Czech, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Because I was thinking, because New Zealand is so isolated, you know, so you don't even have the chance to speak another language. Like, how many times can you use French, you know, if you're in New Zealand?
Exactly. In New Zealand, it's more, the language that we learn maybe more is Maori, which is like the New Zealand native language, which is sort of like the New Zealand language, New Zealand culture. Not everybody wants to learn that language, because it is such a small percentage of people who would speak it, but you can speak that in New Zealand to the Maori community. And a lot of the words are used at like kindergarten, you know, so a normal regular New Zealander will know some words, and some words we use everyday language, even, you know, within our English. But it's not that common.
Can you speak Maori?
Yeah, again, like there's a few words that you use, like, you know, like hello, kia ora.
Yeah.
You'll see that on the plane when you go to New Zealand. You'll see that everywhere. Kia ora, kia ora, kia ora. I'll talk like that to my friends. Or food is kai. Yeah, so you'll say, hi, let's go get some chai. Or morena is morning. Yeah, so my mom, she works at kindergarten with little kids. So she would do these things like, good morning, you know, sit, stand, that's those sort of things are taught in Maori. But, you know, once you get into teenagehood, you're sort of like, you don't want to learn anything. You forget a lot of stuff. So maybe you're not so bothered about it. But a few words here and there are definitely used.
So does your mom ever speak Czech to you?
Yes. So she's obviously like a full Czech, you know. She was like a full adult human when she left Czech Republic. So there's no going back, you know. For me, it was different. Like I was 7. Like it's easy to forget Czech. But at home in New Zealand, in England, it was Czech, of course, the first language. But as time went by, it sort of faded into the background because where you live, that language will take over your life. I see it now in my life, just Czech is more in my life now because I have to use it and I live here. So in New Zealand, it was English, so it sort of took over our life. And of course, my stepdad, he's a Kiwi, so we had some rules, you know, we couldn't speak Czech around him, things like that. So she does speak to me in Czech. It's actually, at the moment, it's half-half. It's like such a mix. It's a messy mix of languages. She speaks to me in Czech. Like if she writes a text message, I reply in English. I just can't get myself to write in Czech. I can't do it. And especially if we're speaking as well, it would be like, ahoy, and then we'll just move into English. Or we'll start with English and then we'll move into Czech when I'm explaining a certain thing. So it's a complete messy, messy time.
And so you mentioned you wanted to move to Prague, right? So how come you ended up in Brno?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I came here in April 2019 and my dream was Prague, yeah. So I first went to Prague for a month. Before that, I was traveling and stuff, and I sort of wasted all my money on traveling and things like that. Then I went to Prague to do the intensive 4-week TEFL course, and that was amazing. And I got to, you know, like learn all the teaching skills, but also just live in Prague for a month. And it showed me how magical and beautiful it was. I was there in the middle of summer, though. Like it was so hot and there's tourists everywhere. And by the end of it, I was sort of getting annoyed. Like, oh my God, there's so many people here, always here. And also another interesting thing, I felt like when I was in Prague, it didn't feel like I was in the Czech Republic. It felt like I was just myself, my Kiwi New Zealand self in a different part of New Zealand, let's say, like a historic European New Zealand, and I didn't need to speak Czech whatsoever. And so in the end, my family lives in Moravia anyway, and so in the end, I thought, okay, Brno is like a really pretty city actually, and I can get a job there easily and I can move around better than in Prague and it's cheaper. At that time it was like, well, it's cheaper, let's go with that. And I thought it would be incredibly difficult to find a teaching job, but suddenly I saw myself at like 10 different job interviews and they were like, yep, you can come start work. And I'm like, whoa, there's so much like demand for this. So I stayed in Brno.
So how is living in the Czech Republic different from New Zealand?
Oh my God, so different. Oh, where do I begin? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like right now, my life is pretty cozy, you know, living in Brno. I can live in an apartment and I can spend my money on a lot of different things. And I'm still pretty young, which is quite a luxury. I think if I lived in New Zealand, I wouldn't be able to afford an apartment or buying myself so many things or having this sort of lifestyle because I would be at a really low sort of job and working my way up. So right now, living in the Czech Republic is definitely more luxurious and it is more... It has more to offer for a young person. In New Zealand, life is definitely different. It's rural, so it's not like city. Definitely, we have beautiful cities, and if I lived in a city, then maybe that would be different, but I'm from like the countryside, kind of. And in New Zealand, for example, we don't really have a good travel system. Here you have trams and buses, and it's all connected and it's all perfect most of the time. And you have, you know, you just get like your ticket for, and it goes for everything. And it stops and it tells you the stop. In New Zealand, the buses don't really run. You need a license, you need a car. Everything is so far away from one town to another, 3.5 hours. So that's different. It would be a lot of travel, more money spent on the car and the petrol and all of that. Whereas now I can just hop on a tram and be at work in 20 minutes. It's definitely more metropolitan here than in New Zealand. In New Zealand, for sure, it's more peaceful. People are kinder. People are more helpful, maybe more positive, and definitely warmer in the winter. here it's definitely more like busy, more metropolitan, but it has some benefits too.
That's exactly the feeling I got when we were in New Zealand. I loved it, but at one point I was like, but I just miss the busyness, you know, of like the hustle and bustle of like the European cities. And like, I would never say I'm a metropolitan person. I'm definitely not. But I like to have the chance, if I want to, you know, I can just decide and go to Brno very easily, or Prague, or wherever. So in New Zealand, this is what I kind of miss, because we lived in Christchurch. Yeah. And it's basically, I think that it has the same population like Brno, but it's twice the size.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, yeah, difference there. And I understand what you're saying, because that's one of the reasons I came to Czech. Yeah, was because I was just like so sick. I know this is going to sound so terrible, but I was so sick of New Zealand. I was sort of like, sometimes, like, because the New Zealanders, they're so easygoing and like no stress. But sometimes you think like, it's like too on the extreme, you know, like somebody's making a coffee for you, like a barista, and they're like really taking their time. And you're like, okay, that's nice that they're happy, they're not stressed out. But like, maybe I'm in a hurry. Maybe I want the coffee now. And I definitely wanted to be like, I'm young. I just want to go to Europe. I just want to like go to a theater. I just want to like dress up really nicely, go to a theater, you know, or like go to a really fancy restaurant. In New Zealand, fancy is not the word that you could use in many places. So I was just ready for a change. I was ready for, yeah, for like more professional, like really fancy lifestyle, more like historic buildings and literature and history, I think. Because New Zealand, it's new, you know, everything's really well developed, but it's new. So there's not much like history. And me, for a writer, I just wanted like more inspiration, I suppose.
So have you managed to travel around like Europe and stuff before COVID?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. One of the other reasons why I came here was to do some soul searching and to travel by myself. I really wanted to overcome a lot of fears, you know, and the way I see it is, if you have a fear, you're just gonna go and do it. So I came here all by myself, you know, from one side of the world to the other. And yeah, I got to travel for 2 weeks, only for 2 weeks, because by the end I realized it's quite boring to do it by myself. I got to go to like Budapest, go to Hungary, because I'm like a quarter Hungarian. So I was like, I should explore this. And I got to go like Slovakia. It's not like a humongous travel time, but it was still exciting for me. And where else did I go? In Vienna, I fell in love with Vienna, with the museums and the history. Again, I'm such a nerd for this stuff.
And Kristi, I'm a little surprised, but it's like you've been here for nearly 2 years, so I guess you must have lost a bit. Or did you ever have like a proper Kiwi accent? Because it was killing me at the beginning, you know? But it's okay once you get the hang of it and once you get used to it, it's fine. But have you ever spoken with a proper Kiwi accent, or did you lose it, or are you like trying real hard not to have an accent? Or yeah.
I wish I could have my accent back so much. Yes, believe it or not, I went from being a Czech girl to sounding like a little British girl to sounding like a proper Kiwi. Like, if you know, like, Southland in New Zealand, like the bottom of New Zealand, they have a specific accent, apparently, you know, like dialect, let's say. And when I was, when I was a teenager, people would like hear me speak and they say, oh, you're from Southland. I'd be like, no, I'm just from here. Like, it's just the way I learned English, maybe because I was rolling my R's, you know, like I do. Sometimes I sound American, which kind of doesn't sit so well with me. But so I did have a little bit of a Kiwi accent for sure. Now I've lost it, unfortunately. I speak more Czech and I try to sound like fancy and like, but it just doesn't happen. It's gone. It's gone, unfortunately.
So Kristy, could you tell us what the Kiwi accent is like, or maybe could you try for us a little bit and like speak in a Kiwi accent?
It's so hard because I don't know what I sound like. I don't know. It comes out when I speak to my Kiwi friends. We have a video chat, you know, like every 2 weeks or something, and I hear them and then I start speaking like a Kiwi. It's like, yeah, it's very similar to Australian accent. It's like really, like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like, oh my God, I don't know. It's like a really specific accent. It's like, I don't know. I really can't. I was speaking to my dad this morning and he said the funniest thing. Because in New Zealand, we finish our sentences sometimes with like A. Like that's not good, eh? And he said a phrase like this, and I was like, oh my God, I missed this phrase. So I can't really describe it though. It's like very slow, sometimes fast. I think the key for New Zealanders is that they are lazy speakers. They miss the last letter of the word. So instead of saying car, they'll say ka. Instead of saying coffee, they'll say coffee. You know, like they like really shorten the ends of it. And then a sentence, if they say a full sentence, it's like, oh my God, it sounds very different when you do a whole sentence of shortened words.
I remember when I was in New Zealand, I worked for one restaurant and one of our tasks was to go around the tables and get everybody's names because they had pre-ordered, you know, their meals and stuff. And there was one guy and his name was Ben, but I guess the Kiwis pronounce it a little bit differently, but it sounds to me like they, instead of E, sometimes they say E. So yeah. He would say something like bin. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or my boyfriend at that time, he used to work at construction and he was like, he was always cracked up when his colleague said tin instead of 10. I was like, what tin? It's 10, for God's sake.
Yeah. It's like that, like slang, like you move that sound to a different sound and then that whole word or sentence will sound absolutely absurd. Yeah. Yeah. My friends have really strong Kiwi accents like that. And I'm like, and I was so used to it though, you know, and now I'm like, huh, that's kind of cool.
Now you can hear it as now, you're not in the environment.
Now I can hear it. And I really wish I could have my New Zealand accent back again. So hopefully when I go back to New Zealand, I will sort of recharge my New Zealand accent back into my head and I'll be okay.
Do you think it's important to sound like a native speaker? Because a lot of people are kind of trying, you know, to sound like a native. But as you said, there are so many accents, and even you, a Kiwi, lost your accent after being here for 2 years. So what do you think about these accents and stuff like that?
I think it's important to know that there are more accents, yeah, because I think kids and Czech kids or Czech people, they think that there's just like, oh, that's English, yeah? They don't realize that there's American, Canadian, Australian, New Zealand, British. Like, they don't realize that. I taught over the summer at camps where they were trying to sort of get heaps of native speakers, like, from different places to, like, showcase that there are different accents, different types of English. I think it's important for them to understand that you can sound different. It's not like try to sound British. You'll never sound British. There's no way unless you go to England and you live there for 3 years. And sometimes students ask me, okay, what about pronunciation? Is it vase or is it vase? And I say, well, you choose, because I say vase, or another person will say vase. It really depends on where you are, but you can decide which one, because not all native speakers sound the same. So you don't have to sound like a native speaker at all. You just need to know how to speak, when, and create your own accent, because we're all different, I think.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. So yeah, this is my view as well, because I think it's a waste of energy to be trying to sound like a native speaker, because then you're, for example, you're trying to sound British, but here in the Czech Republic, it might even seem a bit, you know, bizarre that you're Czech and you're like trying real hard, you know, to sound British, but for what? What's the point? I don't know.
Yeah, just be yourself, honestly, just be yourself. Yeah, sometimes I feel like, yeah, like I sound American. People hear me and they're like, oh, are you from America, you know? Or it bothers me, of course, because I'm not from America and I learned English in England. but, you know, it's like sometimes I get different things. Sometimes they're like, oh, you're from England. When I lived in New Zealand, actually, people would be like, oh, you're from England, because I guess I learned this English, and I had a Kiwi accent on top of it. So together it sounded like a normal English person, maybe, because my New Zealand accent wasn't so strong. Here, people are like really weird, and they tell me that when I speak Czech, they tell me that I have a New Zealand accent. And when I speak in English, they tell me I have a Czech accent. So I'm like really confused what I sound like now.
Well, but this is fun. But yeah, it is personal. It's very personal. And you can pick whatever you want to sound like. Will you tell us something, or will you say something in Czech?
Yeah, but what would you like me to say?
Okay, so we can finish this because I'd like to, you know, wrap up the podcast. So we can finish like in Czech, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, yeah. Moc děkuju, Kristy, za tenhle pokec. Bylo to super a doufám, že někdy v budoucnu se zase bude moc potkat a pokecat si o Zélandu nebo i životě v Brně a jak se ti tady líbí a tak.
Děkuji moc. Taky jsem si to užila a doufám, že zase to můžeme udělat znovu.
Perfect! No, it's great!
Such bad Czech. I can't. Some words I don't have in my head at all.
No, but you're doing great. And thank you so much again in English. I know it's really stressful because Czech is completely different to English. English is like very structural, I'd say, but yeah. Czech is like you can like build the sentence the way you want it to be. And it's like there are so many options. So yeah.
I would rather the Czech language to just tell me, you know, like in English you have SVO, subject, verb, object. I wish that Czech language would be like that, because you have so many options. I sort of like, I don't know, I think I open my brain, I'm like, okay, Czech, I switch. And like just before I was like, what do I know what I want to say in English. How do I translate it? How do I use different Czech words? It was a challenge.
Okay, so thank you so much and talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode and sharing your time with me. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram as Magda Učí Anglicky. And I'd be super grateful if you shared the podcast with your friends or even left a review on the podcast app of your choice. Thanks again and have a great day.